Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this morning we have a little bit of a farming lesson. And that's a good thing because I grew up on a farm and I understand a little bit about these things. Except the text was a little harder than the farm work. I remember growing up on the farm that my father would plant beans. And beans start growing about the time that thunderstorms start passing over Michigan farmland. And sometimes with thunderstorms, there is hail. And from time to time, the hail would be so bad, it would damage the beans so badly that the only thing would be left was some stems in rows across the field. It would never grow any fruit or beans. And so many of the farmers would plow the beans over and plant all over again. Because it's not worth growing something that's not going to produce fruit. We have a similar kind of thing happening here in the story with Christ. It's interesting because it was during that time of the year that normally fig trees do not bear fruit. They're not supposed to be leaved out yet. But this particular tree had leaved out. Now, I didn't know until after some research that fig trees will bear fruit as many as 3 times a year. And they bear fruit before the leaves are full. And so when Jesus saw this fig tree full of leaves, he was sure there'd be fruit there. But upon approaching the tree and looking, he found no fruit. Obviously, this tree was using the nutrients from the soil, taking in the sun, and growing lots of leaves to look pretty, but it was worthless. And so he caused it to wither. Many times trees wither, but not immediately. And that was the thing that caught the attention of the disciples, how it withered so quickly. And they were probably astounded that Jesus had done that. Then Christ uses this as an object lesson for faith. It's also a lesson about judgment. As we read through the Gospel of Matthew, we often see Jesus talking about the judgment of those who rejected Christ. And often he was talking about the Jews, and the Jews understood it and became angry with him because it seems that he often got a good jab in at them for not having faith and trust in the Son of God. And so here again, as some commentators would say, this withered tree is a story or a picture of God's judgment against Israel for rejecting their Messiah. But also, it can be a picture of judgment for us. We can look pretty good, and some of us are ready to go out and be vicars and some pastors. And we can put on collars and robes and look pretty good. We can look as good as that fig tree. But looks is not everything. Unless there's fruit that is produced, it's worthless. And it's only good for firewood. And so decorating yourselves to look nice is not enough. And it's not only pastors and vicars that might do that, but also students and wives and children and all people. Oh, they may act good, and they may do the right things, seemingly, to the world, but inside, there is nothing. There is really no fruit. Well, what is this fruit that Christ is looking for? What is this fruit that we hope to bear? The fruit has a threefold dimension. The first is repentance. Repentance of sin, knowing that we are indeed without help. As in verse 3 of our hymn says, we're helpless. We need mercy. We need forgiveness. We need salvation. We need someone who is righteous to cover our darkened heart that is filled with sin. And so the first fruit of hearing God's word is repentance. But repentance also must embrace faith, trusting that that word of forgiveness through Christ, through his suffering and death on the cross, through the shedding of his blood, was for you and for me. And through that blood, there is forgiveness of sins for all who would trust in him. And then the third portion of this fruit is the fruits of faith. Showing God's love, being the very picture of God's love among God's people and in the world. St. Paul says faith and hope are important, but love is most important. Because without love and the demonstration of God's compassion, your words are nothing but noise, and no one will listen. So it behooves us that we articulate and demonstrate God's love among his people. And this is most important for pastors and vicars, because the people be watching your behavior, watching your deeds, and listening to your speech, and watching your interaction with others. And if they see not love, then they will never hear the words of grace of Christ. And so your very life itself is part of the message that you bring to the people. So daily we must continue in repentance and faith, and bearing fruits of faith, our good works. How is this done? How can we have this faith? God has planted it in our hearts through baptism. He has watered it with his word, and he continues to nourish it with the Lord's Supper at communion here. It is through these gifts that God has given us that we can believe, that we do have faith, and that we have the strength to demonstrate faith. And finally, when we have this faith, we will also have a life of prayer. Jesus says, if you have faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. If you have a strong faith, he says in our lesson today, you can tell this mountain, be moved, and it will move. James says, if you have a single-mindedness, a concentration, and total trust in God, you can pray for anything, and God will grant it to you. But it's only by the grace of God, who has given us this faith, that we can approach God in prayer and be confident that he hears us. And the promise is that we will be able to accomplish all that God wants for us to accomplish when we do not waver in our faith. We trust in him, for he is the way, the truth, and the life, now and forever. I tell you the truth. You have faith. Do not doubt. Not only can you do what is done to this fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer. Amen. Now may the peace of God, above understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.